thrilling feature in radio. A public welfare service to the nation. Lifebuoy Soap presents... Ladies and gentlemen, this is Harlan Dunning speaking. We are broadcasting from within the walls of San Quentin Prison, located in California on the northern shores of San Francisco Bay. Through the gates of this prison, a small group of men hope soon to pass, returning to the world they once lost. Your world and mine. One fervent prayer is on their lips. A prayer that someone, somewhere in this great land will give them a steady job. Their fate is in your hands, Mr. and Mrs. America, for they have already proven their integrity to the prison authorities, and the state parole board has agreed their parole. But these men cannot get that parole unless a job is waiting for them. And so tonight, Lever Brothers, who have given you Lifebuoy, the world's finest health soap, are happy and proud to come forward once again and, as a national public welfare service, present these men to you that you may hear from their own lips the true life story of their mistakes, that you may learn of their rehabilitation and their real character. And we sincerely hope there will be many among you who will find it in your hearts to join in this great work and give these men a steady job and their real chance to come back. And now, before presenting Warden Clayton Donahue of San Quentin, listen. San Quentin Prison Orchestra playing Say When. Thank you. now affords me great pleasure to bring to the microphone the man who has, in the short space of a year's time, completely revolutionized the modern-day theories for operation of penal institutions. A man whose plans have done away with the prison riot, supplanted hatred with friendship, and changed irony to industry. Warden Clayton T. Donahue of San Quentin Penitentiary. Good evening, Warden.
Thank you, Mr. Dunning, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Warden Donahue, there's been quite a wave of public discussion since this program took to the air. One question in particular has been raised, and that is the advisability of publicizing the fact that a man with a prison record is seeking to place himself again in the ranks of the American public.
I'm very glad you brought this up. In the first place, the majority of people have a very distorted idea of what the word parole convict or ex-convict really means. The mere mention of these words invariably strikes fear and abhorrence in the minds of most people. They visualize some ruthless character whose every thought, waking or sleeping, is to kill, rob, or otherwise destroy.
Well?
Yes, I know what you're thinking. And there are cases with big shot or gunman complexes. But they represent only a small percentage of the convicted men throughout the country. And don't forget for one single moment that such types will never be allowed on this program. By far, the greatest majority of convicts are paying for crimes which were the result of dictates of a momentarily sick mind. And, in many instances, we might all of us well say, but for the grace of God, there stand I.
Well, Warden Donahue, by that do you mean to infer that many of the prisoners are not really deserving of punishment?
Nothing of the sort. Each man here is definitely in need of discipline, and he gets it. Then when he's had the fact burned indelibly into his mind that he's no privileged character, that his responsibility to his fellow man is just as great as anyone else's, that man is entitled to return to everyday life.
And the chances are he'll be a better citizen than a lot of us who have never gotten into trouble.
Right. Nobody has to tell him what'll happen if he doesn't respect other people's rights. He knows from personal experience. And that's our purpose, straightening men out and getting them back into useful life. But not until they're ready.
Well, how do you get these men ready, as you put it?
By making available to those who need it and have earned it educational training, all courses from high school through college. For those who prefer it, vocational training in practically all fields. And then, of course, recreation plays a large part. All forms of athletics and talent activities. You've just heard our orchestra. Listen to our quartet singing In the Evening by the Moonlight.
What a tiny man. I'd like to
men sang like their very hearts were in it.
Yes, Mr. Dunning. They've been looking forward to this broadcast ever since you gave us this date to appear. This is really an occasion.
Well, don't forget that it's an occasion for Lever Brothers, too. As a matter of fact, this series of broadcasts adds a new meaning to the word Life Boy. Not only is Life Boy the world's finest health soap, but the response of the American public in purchasing it makes it possible for Lever Brothers to create a real Life Boy for the help of men and women about to re-enter public life. And that brings us to the most important part of this broadcast. Warden Donahue, as I understand it, there are men eligible to leave San Quentin on parole at this time, providing they can get a job. Is that correct?
It is.
All right, then, let's get down to cases. We'll interview as many of these men as our time permits. Will you please bring the first candidate to the microphone?
With pleasure. Harold Walters.
Yes, sir.
Step forward, please. This chap has served only 3 years and 7 months of his sentence. He's been a model prisoner and really earned his right to parole. Harold, this is an unusual way to try and get out of prison, isn't it? Going on a nationwide broadcast.
It certainly is, and I'm very grateful for the opportunity.
Well, Harold, it's the purpose of our sponsor to help you and the rest of the parole candidates here to find steady employment. Will you please describe yourself to the air audience and also give a little of your history and qualifications?
Yes, Mr. Dunning. My name's Harold Andrew Walters. I'm 33 years of age. I weigh 170 pounds, and I'm 5 feet 10 inches tall.
Any relatives?
Yes, sir, a wife and a small son.
Where are they?
They're living in Oregon at present.
Well, do they plan to rejoin you when you're released?
Yes, sir. They've been down to visit me every month.
Well, what offense were you committed?
Embezzlement. I worked for a finance company and used some of their money to play the stock market on the side.
And it didn't work?
I'll say it didn't work.
Well, candidly speaking, that's not an awfully good background to paint when you're trying to interest someone in giving you a new job.
Mr. Dunning, after what I've been through, disgrace for my family and me, loss of what little we did have of our own, and almost 4 years of imprisonment, there isn't enough money in the world to justify it. All I want is another chance. You won't have to worry about me ever.
I think you can rely on him, Mr. Dunning.
Well, you certainly ought to know, Warden, if anyone does. Harold, here's a check for $25 you can really call your own. It's a paycheck from Lever Brothers for appearing on this broadcast.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dunning.
So there you are, Mr. and Mrs. Public. Harold Andrew Walters stands before you. A high school and business college graduate, a fine record of behavior while paying his penalty in San Quentin, and a family waiting for his release. His hand is outstretched to you, asking for a chance to come back. It's our hope that before this broadcast is finished, some gracious American firms will have telegraphed offers to give him and the other parole candidates a position. No names will be announced. Offers will be held strictly confidential, and all negotiations will be handled by the official parole board. And now then, Warden Donahue, before interviewing our next candidate, how about the music?
Fine. The orchestra's all ready, and here is one of the boys to sing Pete the Piper.
When he plays a song, the kids will will never fail him. They sing the song along with Pete the Piper. People gather round when they hear the sound of the camels are coming. Hooray, hooray, when their lively feet catch the piper's beat. They start to sway, and then it isn't long till all the folks are dancing. Their hearts are gay when he will play them a song. When he's done all that, they pass the hat for fascinating Pete the Piper Man.
Talent over here, Warden. And now, who's our next parole candidate? Will you bring him to the microphone, please?
He's already at the microphone.
He is? Why? Just a moment. You don't mean this chap that just sang?
That's the one. Parole candidate Lester Hawkins.
Well, I am surprised. Lester, with a voice like that, you certainly are a shining example of the traditional bird in a gilded cage.
I guess you're right, Mr. Dunning.
Only this time, the cage hasn't been gilded, has it?
No, sir. And this bird is a little tarnished himself.
Well, I see what you mean, Lester. Well, just how bad is that tarnish?
Mr. Dunning, what little there is will soon come off when he's able to rub shoulders with the outside world again.
Well, that's exactly what Lever Brothers have sent us here for, to do a little cleansing work. Lifebuoy soap does the trick for our bodies, and now this program for our people's lives. Lester, let's have your story.
I'm 38 years old, 6 feet tall, and I weigh 180 pounds.
Family?
None now. My mother died just before I was sent here 2 years ago.
Oh, that's too bad. What charge were you convicted on?
Receiving and selling stolen property. I had an auto wrecking business down south in the city.
No specific names or locations, please. We reserve that information for only your next employer.
I see, sir. Thank you. Anyhow, things were going along pretty fair when a couple of guys started coming in every few days with used parts, accessories, and radios, and selling them awfully cheap to me. I figured there was something funny going on, but with the prices I got the stuff for, I was cleaning up. And after a while, I got so I didn't care. Finally, one of them got caught, confessed, and then the police picked up the whole gang.
And you were the fence for the deal.
That's right. The police pulled me in a week later.
What about your auto wrecking business?
By the time the insurance companies got through reclaiming stolen parts, there wasn't any business.
Well, when you are released, Lester, it does take capital to operate a wrecking business. You're in no position to manage that.
Mr. Dunning, the mere sight of even a hubcap sends chills up and down my back. I couldn't go into that business again. Those nights of restlessness, wondering whether the cops were coming in the next morning, finagling the books to try and cover up and all that. It's not worth it. Money can buy some things, but it can't buy peace of mind when you're doing wrong.
Well, what kind of work can you do other than that?
Mr. Dunning, I personally recommend him very highly as a physical culture trainer. He's assisted in our athletic program for the past year and a half and has done a fine job at conditioning the men for various sports.
I'd like very much to go in for that work, Mr. Dunning. You know, one of those athletic clubs where they have massage rooms and weightlifting and that sort of thing. I've reconditioned myself, physically as well as mentally, and I'd like to help others.
Hawkins is a good man. He has a fine record and needs outside help now. He has no relatives to help get him work, and we don't like to hold up paroles for such men.
And without a job, Warden, a satisfactory one from the standpoint of the parole board, he'll have to stay here for the full term, good behavior or not?
That's it.
Well, doesn't that tend to sour a man after he's tried to make amends?
It's bound to. Not that they'll necessarily go back to crime, but it does take the heart out of them.
Well, Lester Hawkins, here's your $25 paycheck from Lever Brothers that should make your heart feel good. And now, here goes the call for work somewhere for Lester Hawkins. Good at physical culture training, and glad to get any kind of honest work approved by the parole board. Mr. and Mrs. America, there's a telegraph office near you. Let's have those wires. And remember, all communications will be kept strictly confidential. Well, music maestro, the San Quentin Quartet once again. Donahue, in our last interview, Lester Hawkins referred to the vocational training he'd received here. I think our air audience would like to know more about this work.
Our next parole candidate, Mr. Dunning, will have something to say along that line. George Winters.
Yes, sir.
Please step over here.
Well, good evening, George.
Good evening, Mr. Dunning.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's a fine-looking chap. I'd say about 28 years old, 5'10" tall, weight about 160 pounds. How close is that, George?
Well, just about right on the height and weight, but I'm only 26, sir.
Well, why were you sent here?
Manslaughter.
Manslaughter?
Yes, sir. I was one of those wise guys that thought it was smart to get tight. And I kept on until I drank myself out of my job and finally lost my wife and my home. Well, one night when I was really liquored up, I smashed into another car and killed two people. If you don't mind, Mr. Dunning, I'd rather not talk about it anymore.
Well, I can understand how you feel.
I was a wreck when they sent me up here. None of my family came near me during the trial, and I just didn't care whether I lived or died.
Yes?
Well, finally, after about 6 months, my wife wrote to me. And she brought my father and my mother to visit me, and that's when my whole outlook sort of changed. I made up my mind that with them sticking by me, I'd be man enough to try and amount to something.
What did you do?
I began to study.
Study?
Yes, sir. They gave me my choice of courses. Carpentering, machine shop, welding, practically all of the trades. Oh, any business even if I wanted it.
Well, what did you select?
Public accounting. And it's turned out fine. For the past 2 years, they've had me in the administration office handling most of the detail work.
And I'd like to assure you, Mr. Dunning, he's done an excellent job of it.
All right, George. Here's your $25 paycheck from Lever Brothers. You can use it as an opening entry in your own book.
I'll be mighty glad to open those books. Thank you, Mr. Dunning.
Warden Donahue, I'm afraid time will not permit any more interviews, but here are five more checks for $25 each, made out in the names of Thomas Jordan, Sylvan Thompson, James Sullivan, Richard Jennings, and Lawrence Rode. Now, all of these men have equally fine records of rehabilitation and are with us here tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, these men came to prison to pay penalties for crimes against society. Crimes they would never have committed had they been given the right kind of training in earlier life. A training they have now voluntarily sought and received because they so desperately want to come back. This time, as useful American citizens. Now, Warden, I feel the people of this country owe you and your board of prison directors a huge debt of gratitude for the magnificent work you have accomplished here at San Quentin. Tranquility where unrest once reigned. Intelligence where indifference prevailed. You men have worked hard, and to see standing before you such a fine group of parole candidates, salvaged from broken minds and spirits, must make you feel very proud.
Not proud, Mr. Dunning. Grateful. Grateful for the opportunity to extend a helping hand to other human beings who deserve it and who are... to be less fortunate than others.
Mr. Dunning, here's a message for you.
Oh, thank you. Warden Donahue, this is a notice from the switchboard. We've already received 120 telegrams from American firms willing to consider employing some of these men, and more wires are still pouring in. That is grand news. We'll have the State Parole Board contact these firms immediately and go into details with them. This really calls for music. Let's hear from the San Quentin Orchestra once again.
Numbers I've got by the dozens. Everyone's uncle and cousin. But I can't live without buzzing. I'm got a sweet tea, I know there. Someone who steps me a blow there. Give me the sweetness of blow there. We never say, how are you? And seldom say, what's new? Instead we start and end each call with maybe confidentially, I love you. Maybe it sounds a bit funny when I'm away from my money. Here's what I do with my money.
Warden Donahue, on behalf of Lever Brothers, makers of Lifebuoy Health Soap, I want to thank you for permitting us to present this broadcast from San Quentin Penitentiary, for allowing us to join with you and your associates in this noble task of rehabilitation, so vital to the welfare of Americans everywhere. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, comes our call to you for these men who want to come back. A telegram or letter addressed to Warden Donahue of San Quentin Penitentiary, stating your willingness to consider the employment of one of these parole candidates, will be treated with the utmost privacy, and the State Parole Board will contact you further on the matter.
Mr. Dunning, I've just been handed a wire from the governor. It reads as follows. Warden Clayton Donahue, San Quentin Prison. Permit me to offer my congratulations for the glorious work of rehabilitation you are accomplishing, and for which the radio program, I Want to Come Back, marks the crowning achievement. Signed, Claude Osborne, Governor, State of California.
The Lifebuoy program, I Want to Come Back, has come to you from San Quentin Penitentiary, the state prison of California. Join us again next week at this same hour when we will continue our program of this public welfare service to our nation from the Washington State Prison in Walla Walla. Harlan Dunning speaking and bidding you good night for Lever Brothers. This is the Consolidated Broadcasting System.